welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hey, everybody.
And from multiple podcasts that I don't feel like naming on this episode, we've got Clay. I'm just kidding. He's from Fanboy Clay, or Fanboy Comics podcast, Comic Book Legion podcast, Batman News Weekly. And
gosh, if it was nightly, Jesus.
God, that would be one that would be amazing to have all that information.
Well, only if you spelled it nightly as in KN.
Well, you would have to.
That would be awesome. Yeah. See, now I have to pitch that idea.
I'm sorry. Also, you should have your fourth podcast out.
Yes. By this time, yes. We will have the Sentai Ranger Alliance podcast. Yeah. A mouthful, but it's going to be awesome.
And that's Sentai Ranger, not Hentai Ranger.
Jesus Christ.
It's something that people accidentally type.
I swear to God, it's true. Are you sure it was accidental?
On second thought, I'm not entirely sure.
We are on the second issue of Invincible. If you'd like to check out our previous coverage, go check out our last episode. So, Clay, go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, we are at chapter two, and I love how they get right into the origins of the powers of the Grayson family, because at this point, you're just like, okay, we know they have superpowers, but is it the stereotypical Superman thing what?
Yeah, it is.
and genuinely, it kind of is, because at this point, Nolan does tell, or you assume that he is telling Mark his origin stories, and he's saying, billions of miles from here, the planet Viltrum. Cool blue planet with a very strong society of people. They worked out their own society of peace. It's really peaceful there. And the one thing that is different is the fact that everybody has superpowers, and it's not just like, oh, once, you know, like I said, the stereotypical Superman thing would be yellow sun, blah, blah, blah. But no. And, you know, which was funny because they do reference it in the first issue with, oh, we didn't know if the powers were light based, you know, same thing as Superman. But they talk about how it was so peaceful on this planet. They're like, hey, we should be in charge of making other planets peaceful. So let's go do that.
Yeah, the plan had to be at a certain stage in their development for them to come in and basically help them out, help them continue on.
Wasn't that like a Star Trek?
Star Trek already, they went and explored. They were not allowed to interfere. But yeah, I think it's the same, similar concept.
Well,
It says here, planets that were far enough along that the possibility of greatness was there, but weren't not so far along that their outcome was already decided.
Okay.
So
Krypton was off the chart. It was not a choice.
basically. But, and I love how they basically made it into like this, like basically just like Star Trek. You had to have a fleet. You had to have a class, all these different things. And there was a team of course, army scientists, things like that. And Nolan was just some computer nerd. Exactly. Yeah. He was just some guy at a computer desk, and he found Earth, and he's like, this planet, man, this has got to be one of those planets that just needs peace. And they're like, yeah, that planet is way too far away. And we're good.
Exactly.
And man, if only they had seen 2020, but
I mean, they might have helped him out a lot.
And I don't know what was going on through Nolan's brain, but he was like, I really love this planet. I think I'm going to go on by myself and be its sole protector. And they're like, okay, but it's so far away. no one's going back to help you, mm-hmm. and nobody's going to come pick you up. And so he goes, he starts to learn their society, but also he is, in fact, their protector. He helps, and it shows here, he helps with landings of space ships, aliens.
I love how he grabs a spaceship, similar to another superpowered alien. Huh.
Yeah,
a lot of
Superman exactly.
references. It's weird.
A lot of Superman references, which I think you really need.
Yes.
It's almost a requirement for new, like, not Image, but indie comics. You need to have those references.
Well, and it's
because it's so iconic.
You know? It's not like in your face. For anybody who knows the Superman lore, like we do, we see it and we can pick up on it and we're like, oh, that's neat. But for a new reader, like who doesn't know Superman lore, who's never read these, like, what did you think of like him just being a Superman allegory?
I found it humorous.
Yeah.
Like I actually like when I first saw the whole, you know, from another planet thing, I thought that after we got through this, he was like, no, I'm just fucking with you. You know, like the whole
that's
a joke.
That's the best thing about the beginning of this series is that, like we said in the last episode, how they could have made fun of the whole trash bag being flown and then landing.
Yeah.
You almost expected this to be like, I'm just fucking with you. Actually,
hit by a radioactive Superman or something.
You're a test tube baby.
Yeah.
Turns out your mom is actually the one with all the superpowers. We just get to pump them off every now. Yep.
But he ends up saving Debbie. And they end up having Mark. And so he's
Which
there.
Mark is sex.
Jesus Christ.
When a mommy and a daddy love each other.
Off subject. But every now and then, Nolan, you guys remember the movie Atlantis, right? Like the Disney movie?
Yeah.
Okay, this looked like the Demolitions dude. Like they're like six
yes!
or seven. Like there are six or seven panels that like I just see it and I'm just like I'm expecting him to be like, and then it just went to boom.
It's funny you bring up panels. This they bring it up later on in the series, but Mark is a big comic book fan. At one point he goes to get his comics and he's talking about how it's really sad and annoying that the comic artist uses the same panels over and over again in the comic that he's reading. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's also because the issue that it says it in, similar thing, like it's the panel of the guy looking, says it, and then Mark's just like, I don't know. And it's like three panels of that. So look for that in the future when you read it. Like I chuckled out of that. And because I knew that, on this reread, I saw it throughout the whole series, and it's awesome.
Great.
It works. Great. It works perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So,
but Nolan is here. You know, it goes back to him in his living room. It is in fact Mark that he is talking to, and
a younger Mark.
Yes,
a very young Mark. Of course, it's in the past, and he gives him this like the very stereotypical. Okay, once you start getting older, your body's going to be changing. You're going to feel things that maybe a lot of people don't feel. You're going to be growing hair. And I'm just like, oh, God. Oh, God. And he's like, oh, and you're going to be getting superpowers. And Mark just has this face of like, what? Like completely dumbfounded. And he's like, wait a minute. Are you telling me I'm going to fly? Like he, out of all of that, out of all of the origin story, out of the aliens, like it's not the fact that he's an alien or half alien.
Yep.
He all his thought is, I'm going to fly.
I would love to see his 23andMe test or his DNA test. Have that come back and see what happens. You got, 40% European,
but see,
10%, whatever.
Would that even read on an Earth-based test? Or would it be like he would turn it in to Ancestry.com,
yeah,
and like within 5 minutes FBI would be at his house like, oh fuck, we got an alien on our hands.
But
completely destroy the door. Oh God.
See, but yeah, okay, yeah. Now I'll bring that up at a later date.
But we get you know, fast forward back where we were, he's in his bed. He's like, yeah, I can fly. And he's like, you know what? Fuck this. He jumps out of his window, starts flying, just, you know, enjoying the night, you know, being the person that he can be. And he does, in fact,
see. Yeah, I mean, if you could fly, you'd be flying around too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But at the, you know, they kind of make the joke later on about his wearing attire at this moment. But he does, in fact, see people stealing from Toys B-Wee, which I still think is a hilarious name for a freaking toy store.
I love it.
But he is fighting this dude. Oh, I'm sure they did. You know, Toys R Us is actually supposed to be back, but I have not heard anything from them.
Because it was supposed to be, like, I think at the beginning of the year, and then COVID hit and just wiped everything. So I don't know what's going on with it.
That's gotta suck.
Right? We had a local burger place shut down because of COVID. They were going to be...
Bravos?
Yep. They were going to move to a bigger place. But once COVID hit, they it hurt them, and they had to shut down over the summer. It sucked.
Yeah,
it was a really good place.
Bravo's is delicious.
Anyway,
but he ends up fighting this guy that is stealing what we find out is basically the equivalent of an Xbox, I think, or just game consoles in general.
Boxes. So yeah, just a video game console.
Yeah, and the. I forgot what this team is called. Is it the Teen Team?
Yeah,
Teen Team.
So like the Teen Titans, but it's...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so we get introduced to all of these teenage superheroes, and they help Mark, and they're like, "Wow, you're pretty awesome. You're really strong." Now, I do want to where was it? We see some of the names, one being Rex. I think one is Robot.
It's Robot, Adam Eve, Rex Splode, and Duplicate.
Yes. And they're basically like, maybe once you have like a better costume or something, maybe we can team up and do something. Okay, see you later. Bye.
Well, I like this part right here, too, though, where she's like, nice costume, man. He's like, yeah, sorry, there wasn't a phone booth handy.
Another.
Exactly. More references. Yep. More references.
They recognize each other. Like, he's like, do I know you? And she's like, I don't know. You have a familiar face too.
Well, who forgets a redhead with green eyes?
Right. You know? Anyway,
my wife is a redhead. My wife is a redhead. Nice. My wife is a redhead. But the very next page, it's him at school, and he's like, I knew it. And there she is. She's, you know, just walking in the hallway, and she's like, oh yeah, we do have this class together, don't we? And he's like, so, you know, how long have you been doing this? What's going on? And she's like, you'll get the hang of it, basically saying, cause he's tired. He's not really used to the night routine of like watching, the city or whatever.
Yeah. I think he's only been, at this point, he's only been active. He's had his power like for 2 months.
Is it two months or a few weeks?
He says 2 months here.
Okay. Yeah. 2 months.
It's jumping. I do want to point out, this is the same class that he had before. We see the teacher in the background. He's also talking to another student.
See, this I did not notice the first time around. So, thank you for pointing that out.
I'm pointing it out now because it does become important later on.
I actually noticed that when the first
guy went missing. Yeah. I mean, so, not missing. What?
But also, if you notice on the second panel of this page, there is a kid wearing a Sun Superman shirt.
I did not see that.
That is badass. I didn't notice that.
Dude, that's awesome.
I want to know how he got away with it. That's all I want to know.
Because it doesn't show the whole symbol.
Yeah, I would say that.
Wow.
Very nice. It's as simple as that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, probably. Dude, yeah.
Wow.
I noticed that last night on my third reread. But... basically, Eve is like, hey, we're actually going to be doing something. You want to team up? And they're like, yeah, well, how are we going to change? What do you do? Oh, just come back here. We're all good. And they go in back of the dumpster, and she is able to change like without even like taking off her clothes or anything. And then he's like, okay, well, now that we've changed, how the hell do we get out of here? And she's like, oh, you'd be pretty surprised how many people don't look up. Yeah. And they just fly off.
Yep. Love it.
And they go to the secret hideout, which is inside the bridge, which is brilliant, I think. It's very, you know, hidden in plain sight type of thing. Uh-huh. So I think that's pretty cool.
And well, I think they're also a team that is, I believe, sanctioned by the government. I could be wrong on that one. It may not be covered we'll go, this volume.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
So, sorry. Go ahead.
But, you know, Robot sees Mark. He's like, oh, so I see you have much nicer clothes now. And he says that he erased the memories of, I believe, the person who owned the
Mauler, the guy that they fought the night before.
Yeah, he erased that guy's memories after he was detained, but I think he's already let go. He says, my hypothesis is that he will lead us to the base and we'll be able to figure out what his plans are for the video game systems. So they go on over there. We know that there is some sort of engineer, some sort of scientist that he is working with, this guy, Mahler or whatever. And he is designing an army of robots.
Yes.
And you kind of see like a silhouette of them. You don't see everything.
I want to point out that the scientist, it looks like the twin of Mahler, because these are the Mahler brothers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They are recurring villains throughout the whole series, so I just want to bring that up now.
Yeah. And he says Mahler, the one that was actually the one to steal the systems the night prior, he's like, I don't know what happened. All I remember is going to the new to get the new shipment and then nothing else. And that's when you see the robots and the teen team jumps in and there starts a full out brawl. And Robot's like, okay, you deal with him, I'll deal with the robots, you know, an all out just really good team up, which I'm very surprised that Mark is able to work so easily with the team because he's so new with this, you know?
Well, and I don't know, because he's just been patrolling, he hasn't really done much with we saw him stop a robbery. We saw him beat up knock off Colossus. From what we know, he hasn't played well with others yet, because he hasn't had a reason to. So
At the end of the day, I think he's doing great with the new team.
Yeah.
And we immediately jump into a scene of Back to the Future at the Twin Pines Mall.
Yep, I noticed that.
And we see I forgot his name from the Peanuts, the kid's shirt.
Charlie Brown?
Charlie Brown, yeah. Charlie Brown is in there. And this guy wakes up.
Oh, speaking of the Twin Pines Mall, you got the Martin McFly jacket right there for this guy.
See, I thought that was it, but I wasn't entirely
sure. It looks very similar.
Yeah.
God damn. All the
what guys. Is that? A life preserver?
Oh, no. But I'm talking about when he's in the future. The future jacket.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it still has the same color scheme, you know?
Yeah fair.
But this guy is sleeping on a bench. He wakes up and he's like, where am I? What is this? He opens his shirt to a similar vest that we had seen in the very beginning of the first issue. And it says 000001. And the next page is a giant explosion.
Yep. The mall is attacked. Oh, no. And that's how we end this issue.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. You can find more of Clay on all of his podcasts, which include Fanboy Comics Podcast, Batman News Weekly, Comic Book Legion, and his newest one, Ranger Alliance, a new podcast from the Geek Ultimate Alliance Network. You can find the Geek Ultimate Alliance and all of Clay's other shows on your podcast app of choice. You can also follow him on Instagram and Twitter at FanboyClay. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, and you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more Invincible.